my leash.
See this because our show isn't on YouTube, but I don't know why Sean's wearing Dodger colors right now.
Oh my god.
I mean, I know it's probably not because we got the Giants got smacked by the Dodgers when? In the game yesterday.
I didn't know they were playing.
Traitor.
Well, if you get but, if, for the people
Giants
that
got yeah. revenge in tonight's game.
Oh, really?
4-1. So, yes. Good. Yes. Yes. And by the way, just because this is a MMA, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, combat sports podcast, we watch other sports. I watch other sports.
Oh, yes.
But I'm speaking of other sports, I'm excited for the new WNBA team here in San Francisco, the Golden State Valkyries. I think it's a dope name.
That's a good name.
I like the logo.
Yeah.
One of my homies, Kevin, shout out to Kevin Be Like Water on Instagram. He's one of my teammates over at Cojaldo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He pointed out he liked the design, but he didn't like the choice of the purple that they used for the logo because it reminded him too much of the Kings. You know, I was like, oh, you know, I never thought of that, but you know, it's a dope logo. And, so the first season's 2025. So more sports ball.
Did you actually see the salaries of some of these WNBA players?
Yes, it's not as impressive yet. I mean, a lot of these teams are still flying commercial.
Fuck.
I think a few of the teams are going to invest pretty soon on charter flights for their players. So it's growing, you know, it's going to take some time. And I think there's going to be more interest. You know, there's a lot of new stars that have just been drafted into the league and, you know, Caitlin Clark, you know, Angel Reese. So it's going to be dope. It's going to be dope.
Yeah. I noticed that they did like a marketing campaign for some underwear, which was nice.
They did?
Yeah.
Terrible campaign. I didn't hear about it.
Well, I did. Like, there was that one. She's a bad
underwear
woman.
Ads always pop up on Sean's feed, y'all.
That's one of those tall Caucasian women. She's, you know.
Yeah. You want one of those Amazonians on your
on your team
watch list.
I wonder if we'll get any good stars or any good players on our expansion.
I know maybe most people listening to this aren't hoop heads, but the year our first season will be the year after Paige from UConn will graduate. And if I think since we're an expansion team, we get a good shot at getting the first pick. So if we get Paige as our like first pick on our inaugural season, that's going to be dope because just real quick, Paige, she plays for UConn. She's going to her senior year right now, but she's had two knee surgeries in her college career. So we have never really seen a fully healthy Paige, but if she gets like a fully healthy year, and she could keep that up, people would have been talking about Paige like they would talk about Caitlin Clark. I've been saying that. The girl's got sauce in her game. She plays both ends of the floor. So I'm juiced for what might happen. So, but I'm not going to say too much. I don't want to jinx it. So
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Shout out to our friends at Rooted Legacy Muay Thai. Last weekend, they brought a team out to the United States Muay Thai Open at Phoenix, Arizona. And their young gun, Gavin, making his fight debut at the tournament, won two fights, and is the USMTO champion in his weight division in his debut. And it was so trippy because I used to teach Gavin MMA and jiu-jitsu when he was like 5-6 years old. Now he's a freaking like 12-year-old, 13-years-old, and just doing great things. So we're all super proud of you, Gavin. Big shout out to Coach Ray and Coach Gabe for making it happen. So big stuff for that team over there at Rooted Legacy and Martinez.
Shout out. So we got that. What is that? That fight night at the Tech?
Yeah, that's coming up this weekend. Did you want to jump into that right now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we should give our local guys some shine.
Yeah. So, like, this is going to be in San Jose. It's put together by Scott Coker, also Anthony Caseta, who used to run WCE, and Rhythmic Catalyst, the folks over there. They're all working together. So this is a big card over at the Tech CU Arena in San Jose. So they got pro fights. They got amateur fights. They've got Muay Thai. They've got K1 style kickboxing. They got regular kickboxing. They've got MMA. I mean, wow. They got a lot of things going on that night, Sean.
Yeah, looks like they got a couple of, they got Jess. I think she's fighting a Muay Thai fight, probably.
Yeah, she's going to do a kickboxing fight. Oh, kickboxing fight. In terms of other locals, Charles Rodriguez from Combat Fitness is making his return to competition.
Nice.
He's headlining the pro card. He's doing a 3-round Muay Thai fight at middleweight versus Daniel Compton.
Wow, there's a lot of fights.
Yeah, they got headlining the amateur card. Coach Rudy Ott's fighter, Leanna Bade from Smash Gyms, is fighting Sarah Tongerson. You got for MMA, you got Antonio Vasquez versus Andrew Campos at 145 pounds. What else we got for MMA? Got D'Angelo Tai, I believe, from The Resistance versus Humbert Lee. I mean, you got like all these like names of people I know. CMA's Matilda is fighting Veronica Mendoza. They're opening the amateur section of the card. So there's a lot going on Saturday.
You guys, any of your guys going to be out there to watch?
Maybe to watch. Yeah. We tried to get Matt on this card, but it just didn't work out. So Matt's fighting in June. So
what goes into that though? Like when you're trying to get your guys fights.
Yeah. You just email, call, or message the promoter. Mm-hmm. Say, I got this guy. Here's his stats. This is his record. You know, this is the weight we want to fight at. What's good? I mean, maybe I'm kind of being a little casual about it, but it's literally just that simple. It's also good to show up at these events to be seen. If you're out of sight, you're out of mind. So you always want to be in the peripheral vision of these promoters so that they think of you when they're thinking about like matching up for their future events. And I hope this one does well, because if it does, I think this promotion has a long-term agreement with the Tech Arena. So they'll keep doing these things. I think it would be great if they could do it like once a month.
Yeah, really boost the local scene. I mean, if they're doing all these multiple disciplines, I mean, why wouldn't you get noticed? And, you know, they have the credibility with Coker and Melendez back in the whole thing. So, you know, this could be like a revival of local combat sports.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I know when they first announced it too, I know like every coach in the Bay is creaming in their pants trying to get their fighters on this card. Because it's local, right? It's got big name. It's a really, really nice venue. So it's going to be exciting. So I'm going to, Coach Armando, Mega Martial Arts, Mega folks, we're going to try to go out there and
really
have some fun, you know, get dressed up, hang out. We'll see.
You in regular clothes, not just some tie shorts or jujitsu.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear a gi, dude. In Sultra Sensibilities, I'm gonna wear a gi top and board shorts with
straight up sambo
compression pants underneath the board shorts, straight and then up sambo, boxing shoes. Ooh. No, boxing shoes.
Good lord,
that's my formal wear.
Just make sure.
And then I'm gonna wear Muay Thai shorts underneath my MMA shorts, just to show you how serious I am.
You might as well wear a mouthpiece also.
I'm going to wear the mouthpiece over my ear, you know, like a real pro. Just to show that I'm always ready.
You're going to take your ears with a needle nose plier just to match everyone's energy out there?
What?
Just cauliflower your ear real quick. Just
Oh, I see what you mean. I don't know if it'll be that kind of a crowd, but who knows? So it should be a good time.
Should be a lot of testosterone in there too, yeah?
Naturally produced testosterone, I might add. 100% naturally produced testosterone.
What do you think the drug testing is? No.
Yeah. So that's this weekend. So y'all, if you're in the area, check it out. You know, support local martial arts, please. Please. Please.
Is there a jiu-jitsu tournament in San Jose happening soon?
There was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
I think we talked about it.
Is there another one?
That's one of our guys is getting ready for it. And I'm like, what a fucking event is this? Is this a Naga or something? It might be a BJJ.
You know, that's possible. That's very possible. Maybe it's like Grappling X.
Maybe.
Grappling X or Naga, one of those.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Yeah, look into that.
Because I think the only IBJJF California one is San Diego's this weekend.
Hmm.
And then there's also this weekend an ADCC open, but that's going to be in Phoenix.
Nice.
So did you watch the UFC last weekend?
I did. Did you hear the headline saying that it's the highest fight night gate in history?
That's pretty wild.
I know.
St. Louis. This was
dude. They showed out, man.
And probably means there's nothing going on out there.
None of the fighters on the card.
Maybe because the St. Louis Cardinals suck, so people want to go watch MMA. But
none of the fighters on the card are in the top 10. Nothing. So it's like for that to break that record, that just means that they need to stop, you know, doing fights at the apex and start going out to these cities.
It could also mean that because they may have the gate could also be a reflection of them raising ticket prices too.
Very
true. You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
it's the summation of the money. It's not exactly the number of tickets sold.
No, you're totally right. Yeah.
For this headline, this headlining fight, Derek Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento, I'm going to take a shit up white belt Carlo on this one because I thought Nascimento would kind of somehow get it to the ground by hook or by crook. And then, what do you call it? Derek Lewis would get submitted, but round three, Derek Lewis throws an overhand right, gets to the ground, grounded pound over. Then Derek Lewis gets like half naked, like a fool and just says into the mic, fuck you, Carlo, for not believing in me. Yeah. So like, I just got to eat that white belt, Sean.
Dude, I don't even remember who I predicted was going to win. Did I say that Derek
Lewis? You picked Derek Lewis.
Really?
By
knockout?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Well, I mean.
You're like, well, I'm a genius. Yeah,
I guess I am. You know what's crazy is, did we just see wrestler, clinch fighter Derek Lewis going in for the clinch?
I mean, I think he's been serious about rounding out his skill set. I mean, the joke used to be that all he would try to do was
knockouts
because, you know, he didn't want to test his cardio. And so he would just try to get out of there as fast as he can. But I think all the way he kind of promotes fights, I think that's just him selling it. I think he's a serious professional athlete. I think he takes this very seriously. You don't get this far for this long without bearing down and having discipline. And I think he's starting to show that, you know what? It's not just an easy recipe to deal with Derek Lewis anymore.
Nope.
You can't just try to grapple him and think, okay, that's the way to neutralize him.
Yeah. Also threw a bunch of high kicks, which is kind of surprising.
The guy's an athlete. The big fella's an athlete.
Even got put on his back fairly easy in some of the ends of those rounds and still got back up or weathered the storm. Right when I went to the floor, I was like, oh shit, here we go. But his ground defense, I mean, he wasn't really letting him pass. So it was actually a really good effort of him not accepting to be put on his back. So
shout out to him and shout out to his coaches. They figured something out for him. Hey, I mean, moving down on the card, Chase Hooper versus Borshev. Chase Hooper gets the submission in quotes by Darstroke in the second round. I think you could argue again, like, you know, Chase Hooper was winning that fight, but did Borshev really tap?
It looked like to me
he was trying to find Hooper's hip. So his hand ended up slapping Hooper's back. And then the referee jumped in thinking that was a tap.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah. I mean, I honestly saw the replay and I was like, that's not a tap. But
yeah, it just didn't look, it didn't look like a tap. It just looked like he was trying to find a post point on his hip to take pressure off and just missed and just slapped Hooper's back. But I think Hooper was winning that fight anyway.
Oh, yeah. Like if it was going to,
in terms of,
go ahead. If it was going to last any longer, Slavoklaz was probably going to get, I mean, he was getting transitioned all over the place.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was going to work. Like Chase Hooper looked like the better fighter, but I'm just saying, you know, that ending was just, oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's just too bad. Any other fights on this card you like?
Yeah. You know, Joaquin Buckley really showed out, kind of weird call out at the end, but against the Russian and Nursultan Ruzaboyev, it, you know, the crowd was going nuts for this guy. So he showed a lot of poise here at 170. His grappling, you know, very surprising how he was able to take Ruzaboyev down and kind of keep him there. Got reversed a few times, but was still able to get a reversal himself. So good on Joaquin Buckley for making the crowd go nuts, because, man, it almost sounded like Connor was fighting in that arena. But the weird call out at the end, I don't know if that was a good idea. Should have used that time because he had such a good, you know, following, good showing. Probably should have called out Gilbert Burns first instead of kind of reaching for Conor McGregor, because that's not going to happen. No,
right. There's so many people online. Because look, honestly, the UFC has never punished any bad behavior. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, take your shot. Okay, because the UFC doesn't give a shit.
Who'd you want to see?
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What are the repercussions? What are really the negative repercussions to Buckley for making a call out to the big name?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
if people say, well, we're not giving it to you. Okay, fine. Give me Gilbert Burns. Yeah. I mean, just like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, the UFC is rewarding outlandish behavior right now.
Yeah.
So if like you keep rewarding clown shit, you're going to have people doing clown shit.
True.
You know? So, but yeah, like that's a good point that you made about Joaquin Buckley with the grappling. I mean, he landed like 4 takedowns.
Yeah. Very impressive.
So that's a part of his game that, you know, I kind of slept on, to be quite honest.
Who would you want to see Buckley go up against?
I like the Gilbert Burns call out. Yeah. I like that. And I think Gilbert Burns sounded like that he was game for something like that.
Yeah. I say Gilbert Burns or maybe like Sean Brady should be a good one.
I think that's a good call. I think that's a good call.
How about Carlos Ulberg versus Alonzo Menifield? What is it, the 3rd or 4th fastest KO in UFC history?
At 12 seconds. Yeah, man. I mean, geez. Talk about someone who's probably double parked outside. He was in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Alonzo, you could tell right from the jump, like as he was walking to the cage, he just didn't look the same. Had Pat Barry in his corner. It's probably why he kind of went off and freaking went aggro. Got caught.
it looked messy in a way too. So in a way, even though it was a fast knockout, I don't really know if we learned too much more about Carlos Ulberg. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because just the way Alonzo came in was messy. Ulberg's response was messy. Mm-hmm. You know, just Alonzo got caught. So, I mean, you know, saying that you have a 12-second knockout on your resume, that's impressive. But if you watch it, I'm not really sure if you learn much.
True.
About Carlos.
What great about name, the
great name.
What about the Robles de Spain and Waldo Cortez Acosta? You know, Robles de Spain coming in with maybe less than 2 minutes of cage time ever, because he's been knocking everyone out. And as a Taekwondo fighter, didn't look too good on the ground.
No. But you know, like see de Spain, like it's so funny, like you know, you're thinking about like the UFC, you always think about like, okay, maybe you're always going to get fighters that have at least like double digit of fights. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Spain's
only like 5-1. Now he's 5-1. And it's just like, wow. Like I was wondering, like, did the UFC always like allow fighters that only had like 5 fights onto like their main card of a fight night?
Yeah.
Was it always like that? Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think.
I feel like they need to also check the guys, like when they're scouting these people, see how they get out of like half guard or something, because Despain wasn't even getting, he was getting no underhooks. he wasn't escaping out the side or the back or anything like that. He was just kind of like holding him down. You know what I mean? It was just like,
Well, you know, that's also, I think, a reflection of the skill set is of the heavyweight division in like any of these organizations. Well,
meaning like you can have some hands and some kicks and you can make it pretty far, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
I mean, it's MMA heavyweights.
The guy was a fucking monster that big. Fuck, dude.
Those guys are big. Yeah. Those guys are big. So, were you able to watch one Friday Fight 62 last
week? Yeah, man. That,
not as big a card as last weekend's one Friday Fight, but
there was some good action.
And I'm telling you guys got to like watch one championship whenever it has a card because, I mean, this company's bleeding money. They may not be in business in about another 18 months.
They need some views, guys.
I hope they still are. I hope they're still around, but.
Yeah, because you got friends fighting for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but any particular fight on one Friday Fights last weekend that you wanted to kind of run down for me?
I think there was a Muay Thai fight with some Japanese guy. Fuck. I forget the dude.
Was it the Wei Zikin versus Ryamu Matsumoto?
I think so. Is that the one that ended in a knockout?
No, Wei Zikin won by unanimous decision in that one.
I thought there was one where it was a knockout.
There was a MMA fight that had Fabio Harada from Brazil / Japan. He fought Batochir Batsai Khan from Mongolia.
That could be it.
But the Mongolian hey, good won job, by Carlo. TKO. Hey, dude, I have my moments, bro. And the Mongolian won by TKO in the first round, bro.
Can you believe that?
He had knees and punches. Like at the end of the first round, knees and punches just ran him over.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, even that, even some of the Russians are getting their ass beat nowadays, man. It's kind of cool to see.
Are you okay, Sean? I know your love affair with Russian fighters. Are you okay? Is your heart heavy this evening?
Yeah, I mean, it's just. Finally, at least we're not matching any Filipino people with Russians anymore. So
yeah, so
maybe they listened.
One thing that Sean can be very happy about is that no Filipinos got their fucking clocks cleaned on this card because there were no Filipinos on the card.
Oh man,
dude, let's talk about. You know, we talked about Fight Night at the Tech, but if you're also maybe if you're not coming out to San Jose. You know, tune in to ESPN Plus UFC Fight Night at the Apex in Las Vegas.
Man.
Headlined by one of my favorite fighters, just for pure excitement, at featherweight, Edson Barboza is fighting Laron Murphy. Man, Edson Barboza, man,
still
making
doing a damn
having
thing.
Kind of a long career for the kind of style that he fights with. It's kind of the exception as opposed to the rule here. Who do you got going for this one?
You know, even though Laron Murphy is undefeated, I just feel like this is a featherweight fight. Is that right?
Yes, okay. That's right.
You know, Edson Barboza is really experienced. I mean, unless Laron Murphy has some good wrestling and some ability to pass the guard, he should win that fight. But Edson Barboza, I just feel like his experience, his range, and his kicks are probably going to keep Laron pretty much away. And those leg kicks are probably going to be into play. So I say Edson Barboza, probably TKO.
Dude, I think if Edson Barboza throws his strikes without always trying to knock the guy out every time he throws it, he'll last.
Yeah.
It's just his weakness has always been his conditioning in the sense that he's so explosive. Usually in the middle of the second round, you could see that his body start to just wear out. So I'm rooting for Edson Barboza. He's only a +124 underdog. I'm going to say maybe TKO in the third round if he could just maintain his composure.
Yeah.
Don't get into a punching fight with Laron Murphy either.
Nope.
What other fight are you looking forward to on this card?
How about the Salvador versus Adrian Yanez fight? Yanez, you know, having a tough go last time, but also the Angela Hill, Luana Pinheiro, that should be a good fight. Angela Hill, I mean, she's still doing a thing, and
I love it because she's one of those kind of long in the tooth fighters, but like every fight, I always feel like she shows her fight IQ. So I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah, and then the Warley Alves versus Abbas Magomedov, that should be a good fight. Melissa Gatto versus Tamiris Vidal. That should be a good fight. Let me see. Vanessa Demopoulos versus Emily Ducote should be a good fight.
That one's odds are like extreme though. I mean, Demopoulos is a +270 underdog. Yeah. They're expecting Emily Ducote to run over her because Ducote's a -340 favorite.
You never know, man.
I don't know. If Vanessa is a good enough fighter to be a value bet on that. So don't take our word for it, guys.
I feel like Ducote's going to try to grapple. So we'll see.
All right. Okay. Also this weekend, guys, you got one Friday fight, 63. So mostly Muay Thai, but you'll get some MMA going on there. But also,
Bellator.
This weekend? Yeah, it's this weekend. It's the Bellator Championship Series. It's going to be in Paris. And I'm excited for this because Patchy Mix is going to be fighting Magomedov, bantamweight. I got to tell you, if Bellator and PFL had like a higher profile, people would be talking about Patchy Mix as being probably maybe like the top bantamweight in the world, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, 19-1 at bantamweight, he's 5'11", tall, rangy, amazing on the ground, but he's going against Magomedov, who also made a name like roughing people up too.
Yeah.
Who you got for this one?
I'm going to Apache Max, man. I mean,
yeah, it's hard for me to go pick against that tear, guy. Man.
And Magomedov, not sure if he's a one-trick pony, but Apache Max is good all around.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find where the weakness in his game is going to be.
Yeah.
Also on this card, former UFC fighter, but she's, you know, made her way to PFL/Bellator. Aspen Ladd is also going to be on this one. She's fighting at featherweight versus Ekaterina Shakalova. This one, I'm going to go with Shakalova on this one because I remember the last time I saw her fight, she was, she kind of overperformed and kind of fought better than she actually was against someone who was supposed to smoke her. And Aspen Ladd has always disappointed me. So I'm sorry to say it like that, guys.
No, makes sense.
By the way, if you guys want to watch this, this is going to be streaming on Max. So you guys can watch it on that.
You know who else is on this is Cedric Doumbé. He is one of Paris's, you know, he's there like Michael Bisping or their Conor McGregor. But if you remember what happened to him in his last fight, he was the fighter that had the splinter in his toe. Do you remember that?
Right. That was him, huh?
That was him. So, you know, anxious to see what he does against Jaleel Willis in his hometown. Jaleel Willis, probably an American, probably.
Yeah, Jaleel Willis is American. He's also like Cedric Doumbé is 5'8", and Jaleel Willis is 6 feet tall. This is going to be interesting. All right. Jaleel Willis also coming in with the experience advantage, 16-5, Cedric Doumbé 5-1. But we'll see though, because again, you know, he's fighting in his hometown. You know, one of the things that I learned is that if a MMA promotion does something in Europe, that shit sells out like
quick,
fast. They fucking pack arenas. So like different promotions out in Europe are, they're doing some big things. So it's kind of interesting to see Bellator trying to get a foothold into that market there and see how well they do. So I'm kind of curious to see how this event goes and I hope it does well.
Yeah, me too.
If you guys didn't remember early in the episode, I also mentioned for grappling, the ADCC Phoenix Open is also this weekend. And if your jiu-jitsu is your thing, and don't worry, Sean, it's also no gi. You got the San Diego Spring International Open. They got gi and no gi. So that's in San Diego. But it's a big weekend in boxing, Sean.
Oh, you know who didn't talk about?
Remember, what?
The Lomachenko fight.
Oh, from last weekend.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. So real quick. Last weekend, Lomachenko fought Kambosos. We talked about how, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Lomachenko does to kind of own the angles to limit Kambosos' power shot ability. And that's exactly what you saw for 11 rounds until the stoppage. I mean, it was a brilliant performance by Lomachenko.
Lomachenko also, you know, the way he was fighting, very, like, especially with some of the footwork he was doing and some of the stance, which is almost looked like MMA striking. If you look at the way his shoulders were also somewhat square after he was throwing his punches, kind of weird. Like, it was actually kind of interesting to see. Like, you see that some of the angles that he was cutting was also cool. Like, Timothy Bradley was talking about the weak side on Kambosos, and Kambosos, he looked good in that first round when he was hitting him with power punches and walking him down, but man, Lomachenko was just dancing the whole night and then just kind of pounced on his prey late.
I think what Lomachenko did well in this fight that kind of cost him in previous fights is that he started early.
Yeah.
Like, he actually started moving forward a little sooner and trying to initiate the action, peppering with the jab, the back, the outs, owning the outside of the front foot, getting the advantage with the angles and just kind of just pop shots, and then boom, power shot, not overextending on anything. So super impressive performance by Lomachenko last weekend.
Yeah.
And this weekend, your boys in Saudi Arabia putting up another good big fight, Sean. Tyson Fury defending the undisputed heavyweight title versus Alexander Usyk over in Riyadh. Who you got?
Man, I go back and forth on this one. You know, I think just looking at some of the footage and the tape on Tyson Fury, I think he looks really good. It looks like he's in shape. And Usyk, you know, he's a cruiserweight coming at the heavyweight, if I'm not mistaken. And I feel like if he's going to win, he's going to really have to get in and maybe hit those body shots and get in real close. So,
kind of slow Fury down,
yeah,
because, so that his head movement isn't as reactive.
Yeah. So I'm going to go, you know what I think is going to happen? I think it goes the distance and I think it's going to be a controversial decision. It's going to go to probably Usyk when maybe Tyson Fury did probably enough to win. And that sets up another rematch, and it's just going to be a big deal. So
I wonder if, like, Tyson Fury is going to come in here like super prepared just because he was so embarrassed by his performance against Ngannou.
Yeah.
He just want to go in here and just leave no doubt in anyone's mind. But again, there's also that kind of like a kind of time of inactivity, you know, like Fury's always teased retirement. You know, when someone talks like that, do they have one foot out the door already?
Yeah.
You know, can you perform at a high level with that type of kind of what looks like from the outside wishy-washiness, unless all he's doing is just kind of talking just to help kind of leverage a high payday from these promoters. I'm going to look for Tyson Fury to put on a classic display of what he usually does, which is try to neutralize power fighters with his boxing and just kind of his awkward herky-jerky style. So I'm going to look for Tyson Fury to take a decision here, but in a less controversial style. I think it's just going to be like, yeah, he fought enough. He fought in a way that was enough to win. He deserved to win. They're going to give it to him. Nice. So I'm just going to call it there.
Yep.
But don't take my word for it, guys. Please don't bet any money based on what I just said.
We will see.
As you know, when it comes to fighting, if you look at my picks for the past few weeks, I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
We should track that.
No idea.
We should track all this shit and then like see.
We used to, but it was so embarrassing how wrong we were. We were just like, you know what? Let's just pretend it didn't happen.
I think there was one fight where I got like two right and there was like fucking 13 fights. And I'm like, fuck
dude, I have like so many like that where I was just like, let's pretend we didn't talk about that one.
Oh, man, fuck. We suck.
It's all right. Hey, dude. So like, what else is going on with your team? So you got somebody doing something in San Jose this weekend for grappling
this weekend or next weekend. I'm not fucking sure, but I don't know if he has the date right, because I was looking at BJJ tours stuff and they're not having anything till like June 8th.
Maybe it's grappling X or Naga, like you were saying.
Possibly.
Before.
So yeah, we'll see.
What about you? What about you getting you ready for something? Are you,
yeah.
You, you look like you're healthy. You're training a lot.
Yeah. I've been training pretty well. Like I think I'm almost at 100% where, you know, I'm going kind of hard with the guys and, you know, picking my rounds with the, picking the rounds with the higher level guys as well and doing pretty good. We did have our first Muay Thai class over at Magala Jiu-Jitsu. Shout out to Coach Rocky, teaching the basics. Man. And two of the Golden Pizza Muay Thai guys came by. It was the young kid.
Yeah, Billy and Nathan.
Yeah, the young kid Nathan.
And shout out to Nathan. He's going to be making his amateur fight debut in Washington State on June 15.
Yeah, so that kid's fucking pretty damn huge. I'm not going to lie. I saw him on Instagram and I was like, oh, he looks cool. And then all of a sudden I saw him in person.
Like, yeah, he's like, he's fucking tall, right?
Yeah, he's a big kid.
It's built for Muay Thai. The kid's built like a Muay Thai body.
Yeah. I honestly haven't hit pads in so long, so I was really rusty. But everyone else did really well considering, you know, a lot of these guys are just doing jiu-jitsu and there's only a few people that have done Muay Thai in the past. So you could tell by the jump roping.
Did you see anybody during pad holding pull guard accidentally?
Yeah, that was me. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, I'm trying to see if I can do this one at the Jiu-Jitsu World League on the 22nd. So
that's
about a month and a few weeks away. So if I feel good, I'm in there.
You're probably just going to compete at the weight you walk around at. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to be at the weight, walking around at the weight. So I don't have to be miserable.
So you don't have to be cutting no weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's
what are we talking about? 175 pounds of pure manly muscle.
Trying to be at like 165. We'll see.
Oh shit. Lean, mean fucking machine.
Oh yeah.
Good for you.
Doggy style.
Doggy style. Donkey guard all day.
Doggy style guard.
Let me, hey, come here, girl. Let me show you my scissor guard.
Oh shit. There goes our sponsorship.
I promise it's a sweep. No. Don't.
No, it's called a sweep. Don't call the police.
Ow. Yeah, please. Don't tell my parole officer.
How about you, man? How's training for you?
Oh, training's going good. I got to be honest. My body's been going through some weird stuff this couple of days. Like, I don't know. It's like, you know, it's that time of the year. No. Like my hips are like feeling kind of weird. I've been getting these knee issues. Mm-hmm. And then like, I fell kind of funky yesterday. So like my neck's kind of all weird. Oh, and I'm at that age now where whenever you feel like a bone or joint thing, you almost feel like you're getting sick.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like you start feeling this kind of weird aches and you're kind of confused. It's like, wait, is that just me hurt from training or am I about to get the flu? You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh my God, this age is like such, at this age, my body and my bones are fucking playing tricks on me. I don't know what's going on.
I feel it, man.
But I'm not sick. So I guess that's a good sign. But yeah, so wasn't able to do any jiu-jitsu yet this week. So hopefully we'll be able to jump into class tomorrow. Get fucking crushed by my teammates, which is okay. But just want to protect the goods, you know what I'm saying?
Protect the baby maker.
Yeah, protect the baby maker for all the activity it's not doing.
Yeah.
Well, so good. But holding together, and luckily I'm still healthy enough where I could hold pads for our Omega folks, Ray and Matt. Matt again getting ready for a pro fight, the Legends card on June 9th, which is a Sunday, strange day.
Shit.
But okay, we're going to make it happen.
Live.
So getting some good training in. So we're excited about that. We'll give you guys more information as that event comes closer. Cool.
Yeah, man. What do you got planned this weekend? You going out to the
this
fights?
Weekend? Yeah. So my mother's birthday Saturday.
Happy birthday.
So we're doing a tour of some of these alleys in Chinatown. So looking forward to that, looking at some like street art.
Yeah.
And then
some cool stuff
that night, hopefully link up with the Omega folks that check out the fight night at the Tech.
Yeah.
What's up with you?
This weekend, what am I doing this weekend? Just hanging out with the family. We bought a bunch of furniture, which is, my duty to put this shit together. So I'm going to be putting shit together and then cutting down boxes.
That's a very adult thing for you to do, dude.
I know. We're due for a new bed. So we already.
Oh, yeah. I bet you
were. We already soiled it.
Sorry.
We already soiled.
I'm sorry.
We already soiled the Tempur-Pedic we bought years ago. So it's no longer a Tempur-Pedic. It's a doggy style Tempur-Pedic.
It's not a Tempur-Pedic. It's a Solid-Pedic.
It's got my wife's knee prints over here and shit. It's like, hey, how much you guys want this on Facebook Marketplace? It's been fucked on so many times. So yeah, shout out to Nectar Mattresses because we got a
kid. Nectar. It's called Nectar Mattresses.
So I got to break it in, you know, got to break that bed in.
It's a great name. That's a great name for a mattress.
Some man nectar. Oh shit. That should be a fucking shirt.
Hey man. Hey, coming soon, guys. How about I know we haven't had a new one lately. Nectar. So speaking of t-shirts, shout out to my boy, Mike G finally picked up his free Mighty Beast t-shirt that he won like last year. He stopped by Pacific Ring Sports today to pick it up.
Well, send us a picture, god damn it. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well,
fuck. Well, that's great, man. Well, I guess that's going to do it for
that,
us, guys.
I was about to use that shirt to rub my balls. So
where, pick it up. Where is this fucking... He's going to use that as a fucking cum rag, bro. Come on. It's just waiting.
Anyway, sorry. So sign us off, Sean. Sorry, I interrupted you.
So that's going to do it for us, guys. We're probably going to get canceled anyway. So awesome. Don't forget to like and share the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on our social media. Mine is Sean_Pierre_. Yours, Carlo?
Hopkey One. And guys, also follow Sean and Pam's Instagram. They got some really funny content they put out there. So check that shit out.
Check it out. Don't forget to hit up Magala Jiu-Jitsu. We got Muay Thai now in San Francisco.
Hey.
10th Planet in Daly City, FTCC in Las Vegas, and Omni Movement in Hercules.
I'm at Hapkido USA. We're with our Kyohaldo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team, our Golden Pizza Muay Thai classes. Shout out to our friends and fam at Pacific Ring Sports in Oakland. Sensei Jonathan Rojas, Asama Martial Arts in Pinole. And again, congratulations to Rooted Legacy Muay Thai in Martinez.
Congrats. Might have to pick up some of them shorts, by the way.
Yeah, they got some fly ass shorts, guys. Check it out.
Don't forget about the fights this weekend, guys. We got Bellator on Friday, UFC, and some heavyweight boxing. Should be a good one out in Saudi Arabia.
And Fight Night at the Tech on Saturday. Fight Night at the
Tech on Saturday. I don't know if there's a stream on that. Pretty sure there is, but I don't know. We'll see. Take care, guys.
Peace.
No STDs. Peace.
That's why I need the mattress.